What do you think on this topic? Share with us.
So there are a lot of questions on when you want to buy. So I was thinking, okay, because we have this mode analysis framework to guide us in terms of, you know, what are some of the qualities of project and a particular unit to look at.
It's just very, very interesting. Last time when I was young, I'll be exposing my age, right? So that time there was only green and red line. From my house, if I walk very quickly, it takes me 15 minutes to Tiong Bahru MRT station. And to me, that was considered great, you know, because like 15 minutes can walk MRT is like, wow, like to me it's like fantastic. And nowadays, like 5 minutes a bit far.
This thing called a sweat factor. Yeah. Sweat factor. Don't sweat, that means it's walking distance.
Sweat factor.
Change the MRT effect to sweat factor.
Super hungry, guys.
How is it, CDL?
Okay. Can we have two more nuggets?
Who is richer?
I'm hungry.
Hey, can we bring the food or can we have the special segment now? 1, 2, 3, lower! Is that what? No, is it anniversary
not,
or what?
No, it's not.
100
days. You guys want to control 100. Food supply. So
Angeline?
Wait.
Is Angeline here?
Angeline
happy birthday to you.
Oh yeah,
why are you still here during your birthday? Yesterday, why didn't I tell you it's your birthday?
I specifically texted her not to come today. I said birthday, no way to work.
You come?
But she really want to come because she, so that we can celebrate for her, is it? Oh. Where's the cake? Hey, Taka.
You got order? You got order cake?
Buy cake.
How old are you?
Time off.
Hi, you're 31?
Yeah, why? Okay, yeah, let me share a little bit about Angeline. SQ, 5 years. 31 years old, single and available. So, let's continue back to where we left off. So now you're on pick. Hey, we should have a box or 抽奖, right?
Oh, right.
I want to talk about pricing later.
Oh my god, we should play
the player,
charades.
Yeah.
Then charades. Then you add out the effect.
choose the effect.
Okay.
A volume has been taken. I'll
just talk about pricing.
I talk about a few.
Okay, so you can see that region disparity effect, quantum effect. This is a function of pricing now. Okay, so quantum is what's the overall price quantum? We don't just look from a PSF angle. Region disparity is we want to see in a similar district area, right? How does this fare up in terms of the PSF difference. So let's go and check it out.
Hey, sorry. You all continue filming.
You're going to go,
go to the toilet. Okay, just continue.
Like continue then.
Yeah, just continue.
Wait, you will miss out what I say and then you cannot interact.
I really know what you
want
to say already.
Acro.
Usually when you 尿急, right, you will walk like that one.
Like a duck.
Because you cannot stand straight.
我可以去尿尿也是嘛.
Once you stand straight, then very painful one.
Okay.
The region district disparity.
Okay, so generally wise, most of the time when I speak to retail investors, they always say like, okay, location is the most important. You go and attend any like property guru kind of classes. They also say, oh, location is the most important factor, right?
Right.
And we took like all these transactions. CCR, 999 years, this is in Orchard area. Losses, sought by highest loss, $5 million.
Millions of dollars, yeah.
Okay. Next one, CBD, downtown MRT station, $1 million over to $2.3 million losses. And then people will ask me like, these are areas that I won't buy one, don't worry. You know, like it only happens to like where the foreigners are buying. And I'm going to start to show them things like this. Do people buy in Redhill?
Yes.
Near MRT station, $1.4 million loss in Redhill.
Okay.
Bishan, a lot of Singaporeans have to stay in Bishan, right? 200, 300 plus thousand losses. Highest was 617,000 loss. The reason why these losses happen is because people are always focused on good locations. I want prime district. I want good near good school, near MRT. I prefer freehold 999 years. But fundamentally, most importantly is to get entry price, right? So I give you another extreme scenario. Like this. Can a ulu location be profitable? Look at this. No MRT station.
Yep.
400 plus units. They can have up to 300 plus to 400 plus thousand.
Actually, against is quite crazy. 10% annualized gain.
Yeah.
So when the key important thing here is this. I always believe that in Singapore, because the demand is so high, I can buy any house and be profitable. As long as I can buy at a specific price that I want. That discount whatever negative attributes.
Price triumphs
everything in the more
price
analysis.
Is yes, no. Yes to me, yes. Price is not a function of cheap.
Yeah.
Price is a function price, of
right. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, when you price yeah. correctly, it's not about cheap. Yeah, yeah. It's about you have the most intrinsic value
cheap
for the amount
good.
Of yeah. money that you're going to invest in. And I always believe that out of selling all the houses, every house will have some form of cons. I always share jokingly to like, you know, like buyers, right? Oh, you say the buyers will come and say, hey, this one got this thing. I say, if the house, everything is perfect, right? Then you won't like the price. Yeah. So true. Definitely every house will have some form of like their own cons, but sometimes the cons are not important to the buyers. So hence it offsets. So to me, you can ask me to buy like face rubbish shoe. I'm okay to buy expressway facing. I'm okay to buy any facing. As far as the price is correct. Because when the price function is correct, there will be a point that it is low enough for you to be able to exit to the next buyer. So I want to get a discount factor that's significant.
So when you say
more than the discount that I really need to pay for like getting on something of this negative trade.
Right. So when you say price, that means it must make sense comparatively to, let's say, a quiet unblocked facing,
yeah.
very beautiful view.
Yes.
To the expressway facing,
yes.
there must be a significant price
yes.
discount.
Yeah.
And then it will make sense fundamentally. Mm.
However, of course, in reality, these yeah. things don't happen because number one, the sellers are not willing to pull
yeah,
the trigger at this kind of pricing.
Correct.
Okay. But if let's say there is, hypothetically speaking, there is this kind of scenario, right? It's a sure profit. So to me, I don't care about, okay, in essence, right? To me, pricing, it's always been my one and only factor. I can accept all cons. However, in the reality of things, because pricing is not as elastic as I want it to be, hence the mode analysis become that go-to factor to help us find that best sweet spot. So if I'm going to go, if I'm going to come up with X number of dollars, 1.5, 2, 2.5, 5, 10 million, I want to make sure that from an investment angle, I'm deploying in an area that has got potential for price improvement. Mm. Second thing, also that, you know, is there going to be more transformation? Is there going to be exit audience? Is there, in function, right? If you want price to go up, it only boils down to one point. Is there going to be much more demand than supply?
Mm.
That's it. But interestingly, I think in 2024 is a super interesting year. There will be gems and sweet spots that not your traditional attributes that will perform in the last, you know, like 2 to 3 years.
Example.
This will be the time to perform already. So certain selected right CBD projects, certain selected core central region projects, certain selected, you know, like something of a smaller size density kind of project. These are, if to be the right one, is going to be very interesting this year. They're going to see tremendous gains in the next 1 to 2 years.
Which brings us to our pairing strategy. Grace, talk about the pairing strategy. Explain, what is it?
Okay, so the pairing strategy is...
what you just talked about is the pairing strategy, ma, right?
Yes. So, okay, in terms of pairing strategy, we look at the different types of projects as well as the location. So, new launch, resale, as well as... No, okay, new launch, TOP and resale, as well as OCR, CCR, and RCR. So, pairing strategy says that in every season, there is a correct pairing that makes sense. If we were to look at the slides... So, for example, pairing like RCR with new launch or CCR with TOP projects. And this is because of what we call the disparity effect, right? Because disparity in different, when you compare certain pricing, when the new launch pricing and the resale pricing gets too close, for example, then people will be looking at the new launches. But when the gap is too big, then they might turn their attention back to the resale ones. Yeah. And then once we have determined the right pairing strategy, then we zoom in to the more micro factors.
That's right.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, anyway, Yurong shared a very good point. Yurong shared a very good point about... So he's saying that to him, price triumphs all of these factors.
Mm.
So entering at a correct price, right, he can forsake any kind of factors here or even face the dustbin, face the expressway and all that. It's okay as long as...
I'm coming for investment because I'm going to rent it out.
Yeah, right, as long as the entry price is correct.
Mm, yeah. But if I stay...
But what if it's investment but your buyer is for own stay then?
If they're buying for own stay, then same thing. It's just, you know, everybody to a certain extent is a hybrid buyer.
To a certain extent.
It's whether they are on a scale, right? They are like 0% investment mindset to 100% investment mindset.
Yeah.
So like it is always that kind of gradient. So depending on how investment savvy they are, then they will be able to accept. So sometimes, right, you can be buying this very good price, good value, but a lot of negative attributes and you don't want to stay there. Can you rent it out? Of course. And can you rent somewhere that you absolutely love? Your gorgeous view. You can always do an arbitrage, right? So I think that is fine. But whether the buyer is in the correct stage of life that they are comfortable with doing arbitrage, right? Then it's a different thing.
Actually, for all properties, the final metrics is always a price. For example, even though how many negative inherent factors that is, you just need to keep lowering the price to a certain price point, you will start to attract a new batch of buyers. Yeah.
No, and that is why if there's somebody to sell, there's somebody to buy. Yeah. Like, I think that every property definitely you can sell. It's just whether you find that sweet spot between all your, between the macro factors, the micro factors, as well as the price.
Pricing acceptability.
Yeah.
We just went through that that framework, right? The pricing of acceptability framework that we talked about. We drew out that triangle and then we talk about the inherent factors and all that. Maybe let's share with our audience a little bit. Meantime, Josh, you want to take on the next one? Or I try to find that slide. What would you like to talk about?
I think the exit audience. I think this was often overlooked back then when a lot of investors did buy. So I think what Yiron mentioned is very accurate. That means even though there's a discount factor in terms of the inherent issues that the particular property is facing, no owners will want to sell very, very low. Sometimes they will just want to make sure that they can sell first before they move on. When we take a look at exit audiences, there are a few different categories. I think in the past, like 1 or 2 years, at the OCR area, majority of the condo buyers come from the HDB upgraders. That accounts to about 50+ to 60%. Why is that so? It's also because they have the cash proceeds and then they have the CPF that has been building up over the past 8 to 9 years from building until MOP. So that easily forms a down payment. HDB upgraders is just one of it. I think the other category is also the landed downgraders. More often than not, when they are reaching a certain age, kids have all been married and then they want to say they downsize. So I think having these few factors also kind of protect you in terms of the speed of exit at the kind of price that you want to exit, and then it allows you to move on. So so there's the
great analysis. Thanks.
But in terms of exit audience, right, you mentioned HDB upgraders, landed downgraders. it still reflects the idea that most people want to stay where they are. But I think that increasingly there is the trend of certain areas being more desirable such that it attracts people that are not traditionally, they didn't grow up there, to want to move there. Right? Because the exit audience, usually we look at whether it's in an area where it's surrounded by a lot of HDB clusters, a lot of landed clusters, and your price right, your price right such that landed downgraders want to buy, HDB upgraders can afford. Right? But now more and more, I think that there are also people who are buying into certain areas. So, I'm not sure whether that affects the exit audience.
Maybe I just add on to what George was sharing about exit audience is, exit audience predominantly, you have like two different things. Number one, do you have a lot of new HDBs that were MOP? That's an important thing because inherently, of course, there are people who want to move out of that location. But a lot of times, let's say, for example, today you have family already, your support structure is that there is a high likelihood in terms of percentage that you want to stay in a similar location. So hence, if you are owning a property that is desired by own stayers, and there is a lot of like BTOs that is going to MOP nearing your exit timeline, right? Why is this very important? It's because, right, these BTO people should make money. Second thing is they are very young. So they have the aspiration to want to switch to a condo. Versus a resale property, I want to retire already. I want to right size. I'm not trying to switch up. So these two creates that upscale in terms of asset. The other thing will also be landed properties. Right? Landed properties, there are two categories for landed properties. Number one is what I call downstreamers. So like I have like landed owners that joke with me. I ask them, how do you know that you want to move out of your land already? They say, last time I stayed on the third floor, then my children move out, I moved down to the second floor. And then now I climbed to the second floor, a bit tiring. I want to move down to the first floor already and the house don't have a lift. So obviously you know that it's time to move out. Your body is telling you. Second thing is, when you landed cluster, right? Just imagine, right? Nowadays, we see more and more parents helping their children to kickstart their property journey because they are concerned that prices are going to escalate until an unaffordable area. Level, they want to help them kickstart and give them the advantage. And so if today you stay in a landed zone, naturally, people want to invest near where they are staying. And that's also the reason why a lot of people make a lot of mistakes. They invest where they are staying and then only it's not a profitable area.
Correct.
But the landed zone is very interesting. So now you support your journey, you will say, hey, why not? I got this condo that's around here. You just buy there. Yeah. I help you put the down payment. Mm. You can come back very quickly.
靠近我。
Yeah. Yes. So this is very important. So like, I love, let's say that's the reason why District 10, District 15. Okay, maybe I use District 15 for example. They are in an RCR location, but the prices is almost like a core central region kind of locale because it is one of the biggest district that houses the most amount of landed properties.
Mm, private.
Yes. So that's very interesting. Also.
So coming back to Grace's point, right? Just now she was talking about why is it that certain people will move towards a different estate. I think if you reference this four main pointers, of course, if we take price out of the picture, we just look at the fact that why is it that certain HDB upgraders, they want to buy back into that same estate. For example, if somebody already own a HDB in Punggol, fulfill MOP, they buy back a condo, one of the 13 condominiums within Punggol. Why do they want to do that? Most of the time is because their kids are already studying in the school there and they find it a hassle to move away.
Yep, correct.
But sometimes people move out of that, maybe going into D10 because they want to get into ACS, right? Mm. Or they move into a place that is like extremely popular. For example, Grace, you don't live in D15 in the past, but you move there because of popularity. It's also a lifestyle, I believe. Like you like to work out, you like to go to the beach and stuff. You like to run. Exciting.
I like to be near George.
Sorry, yeah, exciting URA master plan. That one must cut off, yeah.
Why?
I mean, like, he moved from all the way from the north, extreme north, all the way to D15, right? Because last time, okay, because why he moved from the north is because last time that was a strategic move. It has to be in between two of parents.
I like to be near Josh because I know he will buy in the area of high growth. That's what I was
saying. But while he was staying in north, I think it was painful because his work in real estate, you realize he needs to be somewhere centralized. That's why
Very painful. Eh. Yeah. You know, sometimes when I drive home, I really want to drive until I want to fall asleep.
Yeah, okay, but people who live in the north, they have their rationale because maybe their workplace and stuff is all there.
But I got nothing against the north, lah.
Yeah. So, okay, so I want to come back to this part, right? Merging with some of the points just now that some of our presenters has talked about. This is the behind mindset of why certain buyers, how a buyer perceives this thing, what we call the price acceptability before they can make an offer. Yep. It has also something to do with whether are we in a seller's market, which is a bull market, or are we in a bear market, which is like a buyer's market. So a buyer's market, people make decisions slower, usually in a period of higher interest rates, and usually there's more negative news involved. Seller's market is when it's a bit more bullish. People are like buying into like new launches rapidly, 100% like sell out event kind of stuff. So take note that when you select a property, if your property has great inherent factors, usually these kind of properties can exit in any market. And usually these kind of properties, they call the shots. And they are the ones that are high floor, unblocked views, quiet facing, great layout. These are things that you know, you cannot change in the sense that it's how your property overlooks certain things and is a position of your property. Value add elements are things that you can change and upgrade within that property itself. So when you look at these two factors, this affects the buyer's perception in terms of the price that they want to offer for your place. Yeah. So when you have a lot of good inherent factors, the more willing are buyers willing to pay for that. When you value add more into your internal part of the home, then even more so do they want to value add into that, which just now we were just looking at one of the property that we have helped a client to exit. If you look at this particular property at Dillinger, we sold this super penthouse. That time it was asking at 7.8 mil 2 years back. I think now it's even more. This property is one of the classic one with fantastic inherent factors. It faces the GCB facing, quiet facing part of Dillinger. One of the best layouts that we have seen. And of course, the value adding element within it is like $500,000 of renovation. So it fulfills that portion about point one and two, and thus the price point of acceptability is higher. So end of the day, you need to balance these two things. If you cannot afford something with good inherent factors, you can always value add. But when you have these two things, then you are technically only one of the priced properties within that development itself. So I think when you balance that out, when you're trying to sell a property as well, these are the things that you can try to balance within your mind. Mm. Like, for example, you tend to know whether your property is overpriced or underpriced because you have added value into the property or you have previously selected a property with fantastic inherent factors. Yeah.
So, and I think to add on basically inherent factors, right, makes a certain property more rare. So of course, generally supply demand, if it's more rare, it's very hard to find a similar listing that's going to come up in the market. Then this unit is either going to go very fast or it's going to go in a very good price. But let's say if we happens to own a property where it's very homogeneous, there's a lot of selection that our potential buyers can also consider. And so hence, one of the strategy will be, of course, we know that the pricing attribute will not be able to, you know, like reach a certain point of target.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm. So like, for example, let's say homogeneous products that usually happens, okay, not say really, really homogeneous, but usually in a TOP,
very similar
TOP
la.
Property, right?
Yep.
You have a swarm of listings coming up for sale. For example, let's say you have a one or two bidder, then one of the way to stand out is really to value add. Whether by way of renovation. I was just talking to one of our partners during the D&D last week. I was just asking like the current market of renovation, what can 60,000 do?
Yeah.
The interior design boss was telling me that actually 60,000, you can do a lot to a newly TOP'd condo. It can become like a designer renovation with 60,000 because the core essential things are already done.
Yeah.
Flooring, kitchen, bathroom, wardrobes. Mm. But 60,000 for HDB, you cannot do much.
Nothing much, yeah.
Yeah.
Bathroom,
because a lot of the money already went to the internal stuff that people cannot see, and like your rewiring, replumbing
piping.
Works,
yeah.
You know, a plastering of walls, etc., and all that stuff. Mm,
yeah.
But something I think that's very interesting is I think like those that have like very homogeneous are those that all, let's say a certain bedroom type, a certain project, they are all the same facing one. There is no differentiation.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then whether high floor, low floor, you are still saying the same facing. So it all comes down to like what I mentioned, internally, is it better renovated? Is it better maintained?
Mm.
And the price.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we see day to day, actually. Like every property that we sell, also we are like trying to balance between the inherent factors as well as the value added elements. Like, you know, there's like some like two bidders that we have sold before, like previously at Interlace. The value added element is very high because a lot of the products are generally the same. Of course, there are different facings, but layout wise, bay window wise, it's all pretty much the same. So the unit that we saw is beautiful. You know, so that was a high value add element. Then, for example, this week, Zoe and I, we are selling one of the units at Bridal View. So Bridal View is an ex-HUDC. So size is fantastic, 1,560 square feet. Compared to a lot of the three bidders in the Toa Payoh Bridal area now, it's like 700, 800 square feet. So the inherent factor is very strong. But the unit that we're selling is very, very, very original condition. But still, there are so many inquiries because it's priced right. Yeah.
Mm.
And the inherent factors.
Right. Inherent factors cannot be changed. Mm. Value add elements can be changed. Actually, in a house, the only thing you can change is the renovation.
Yeah.
Mm. And the people staying there.
Yeah. You can change the human being.
Change the human if they don't add value.
You're affecting myself. Move on.
Actually, this is a very good point. So for example,
true.
Sometimes, you know, like tenanted units.
Or your pets is affecting the
tenant.
Experience.
Yeah, tenanted units sometimes take 2 to 3 times longer to sell because the tenants just do not open the door for being
seriously.
Available.
Yeah. Or once they go in, right, the buyer just walk
actually,
out.
Actually, rather they don't open the door sometimes.
Because it's very messy.
Yes.
Yeah, tenanted units.
Then how you sell? Just shoot the PLB video.
Yeah.
Awesome.
If we ever did a case where we shifted all the tenants out.
Which is why yesterday my friends came over to my home. Then she was asking me like this listing.
Can you ship out?
On property group. No, she was asking, hey, why this house all showed rendering photos only? Why never showed the original? I said, oh, the original photo, I think it's too cheap. That's why.
Nobody will call with the original photo.
No, but if it's priced right at a point where I add in the renovation that I want to put in, I'm still buying at a price that is very comparable to all the other units that are asking, then it makes sense because I can customize it how I want. After I add in the rental cost, it's still, why laugh?
Oh, hey.
Hello.
Hey, why you laugh? Hey, don't disturb the train of thoughts.
Yeah, please be serious and pay attention.
Okay. Why you laugh? Okay. As I was saying, so it's like,
why you must like, Twitch a little bit. Reset.
Reset. Okay. Okay, so, okay. So let's say if you are buying at, for example, 1.5, then you pump in about 100K of renovation. But you look at all the other more renovated units, they are asking maybe 1.65. Then it does make sense because you get to customize it to how you like, you know.
Yeah. In fact, it is better because you're really getting something brand new.
Okay, unless time is a concern for you.
Actually, I think for TOP projects,
time is serious.
Actually, for TOP projects, I think if you really need to exit, you should spend a bit of money to spruce up the place. Do some renovation.
To command a higher.
Let's say example. It's too competitive. You finally waited for it to hit TOP and that's the time you hit SSD also. And you are at a season that you're ready to go to a lender, example. You cannot just possibly leave it there and just hope that compared with all the rest of the stack or the same facing on the stacks beside my left and right hand side. Then because the buyer's mindset is that everything being constant, similarly, I will just
price
compare price
only.
Two things that are very easy, right, to make your house look much more atas.
Okay, tell the audience.
Number one, motorized zip blinds. Motorized zip blinds.
Okay.
Yes. Because motorized zip blinds are not that cheap to do. And second thing, it really immediately makes a balcony very functional for the next buyer. True. Motorized are not like the you need to pull yourself kind. Motorized. Next thing is actually your lightings. So sometimes right, to make a property suddenly increase right in terms of like your the luxury feel, right? Is to just switch out all the lightings to nice pendant lights.
Do not buy the hambaobao.
No hambaobao, no hamburger light. Like one round one light.
Just like that.
Cove lighting is best. Spotlight also.
Turn on modern LED strip lights or whatever.
So recently I have like a TOP project, right? And the client wants to rent out. And then he was very open to take suggestion. I say like, don't buy hamburger light. Choose a decent pendant light. And then he said, if I install zip blinds, will it increase my price? And I say, yes lah, it will help it. You know, when you're going to sell 1 year later. And he really installed.
Hey, and then?
I walked in, one viewing, close. Wow. Offer on the spot.
Hey, I want to show everybody.
And there were a lot of listings in the project.
This is the latest technology. The latest.
Can I go for toilet break now?
Yeah, I also need to go toilet break.
Hey, watch this first.
You play this, you go toilet break, and
okay,
come
go,
back.
Go. Go pee.
This is an extended episode.
I want to share with everybody our latest technology. So look at this. Oh my goodness. Have a look at it. Focus on the patio. Boom. Oh my goodness. Look at that. In fact, if you have not catched this video at One Amber, this is a ground floor two builder that is just recently listed. We have a lot of new visualization technology that really helps to showcase the potential of a home in terms of what we can do internally. So there's a lot of renovation tech here. So I just want to share a little bit about this part as well. Okay, just have a look on this patio renovation idea. Yeah, I think our team, our architectural tech team, is really getting more and more advanced.
Amazing.
Yeah, in the things. And of course, you see this part. The dining area is pretty unique as well. Let me just share with everybody on the dining. Yeah. Okay, this is about dining area renovation.
No small talk.
Yeah, look at that. Cutting more.
I think
more
right. What so this is what they say in terms of inherent factors. You cannot leave it. You don't leave much to imagination. But for renovation, you can, you know, if the buyer's imagination is strong enough and if you have the technology to help them dream, you can do a lot of great things. Yeah.
So the key thing about like selling is I always share that the people who can visualize when you step into a house that doesn't look ready to move in, that's where you get the best deal. Those that cannot visualize and we stage all the house nicely for you is so that, you know, like, okay, never mind. Then you will pay a premium. Like.
What Yuron is trying to say is that if you are somebody that knows to hunt for property from an investment mindset, you want to hunt for like properties that you know after you purchase, you can actually value add yourself. You don't have to depend on the value adding element by the current seller. Yeah. You can hunt for those properties with poor internal renovation condition because you know that with a certain budget, maybe with just a limited budget, you can spruce out the entire place to look good.
And you
good
can
already
control that budget.
Yeah. So you can actually hunt for like properties that are more like undervalued or is like fair market value and you don't have to pay a premium for properties that has been renovated, because sometimes the renovation could already be there for 10 to 12 years. So, and of course, you must have the eyes to know that actually a lot of things can be tweaked and improved with fantastic furniture choices. Yeah, as well.
I remember this buying experience. I was like helping one of these clients to invest. We walk into this house, I say, this is a very good, you don't miss it. And she walked away and say, ah, the condition very bad. I say like, what you're seeing like the condition, right? It's not even bad. It's just that the house was super dusty.
Yeah.
And I say like a cleanup is done.
But the price and inherent factors are good, right?
And she didn't pull the trigger. She missed it. And when I showed the caveat and say like, wow, this one is a very good price. And the next unit, we are finding same development, lower floor. Oh. We had to go higher in pricing.
Yeah, so...
So just remember that sometimes a simple cleanup to a house...
A new paintwork,
some lighting, you already give a dramatic shift to... So that's the reason why when you sell every house, you try to remove like all the visual negatives first. And we remove the owners during the viewing. Remove the pets. Remove the kids.
By the way, for this video, I introduced a new framework. It's called the PACER framework. So if you want to know what is the PACER framework, do head on to this particular episode on our main PLB channel. I share with you how to pace by hunting for certain properties that is not the top PSF benchmark of the market. So this particular home tour will explain the PACER framework as well. We can elaborate that on our future webinars. All right, so we're coming to the end of today's NOTG episode. Thank you for joining us. We hope to see you on the next few banters with our home team. And of course, we are going to have a host of exciting guests that will be with us in 2024. And thank you for supporting us. We want to wish you a wonderful 2024. Meantime, take care. Bye.
Hola.